You've heard the scripture in its reading, as Minister West has done a fine job of reading our scripture on today. And if I was to tag out our sermon today with a title, it would be, Where is the Power? Let us pray. God, we thank you for this opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk. God, fill us with your spirit as you promised that you would, that we might bring forth the word, oh God, that you have given us to bring to your people on today. God, open up their ears that they might hear, and open their hearts, oh God, that they might receive. Oh Lord, we bless your name and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said earlier, we are in the season of Pentecost, the time when we commemorate the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the church, fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy concerning the Spirit, and Jesus' promise to fill his followers and his disciples with power. As the first church was being formed by the disciples, Peter and John, as well as others, experienced a great change within themselves. They had been filled with the power of God. The Spirit of God took up residence within them. They, through the power of God, they overcame their fears. Through the power of God, they became bold and holy with holiness. With the Spirit of God, they were able to move in the Spirit of the living God. They were armed with the teachings of Christ. The disciples had walked with Christ for over 3.5 years. And Jesus told them in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. He instructed them in the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. He told them just as he was ascending back to the Father. But you will receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all parts of the world. As you know, we are part of the Lot Carey Missionary Baptist Foreign Missions. And because of that, we are missionaries too, right here in Mount Olive. We may not go to Judea, we may not go to Samaria, but we support those who do go. And so we are following after Christ for the Great Commission. And his promise to them as they tarried in the upper room, and if they would tarry and wait, that the Holy Spirit would come like a rushing and mighty wind with tongues of fire and would sit upon them, and they would be filled with power. They would be filled with power to believe. They would be filled with power to stand on their beliefs and to operate in their beliefs. Peter preached, and the power of God fell again, adding 3,000 to the church. They came to know Christ and the power of his love in transforming and delivering and in setting them free. You see, Peter and John were practicing Jews. So they continued to go to the temple for the 3 o'clock prayer hour. Here we have the hour of power at 12 noon on Wednesdays. But in the Jewish faith, at 3 o'clock, they would go to the temple for prayer. I had a very unique situation on Friday when I went into New York to have my hair done. As I came out, it was that hour when I parked right next to a Muslim mosque. And when I came out, my car was blocked on every side. I could not get out. There was no way for me to get out. And I'm sharing this to you with you to help you to understand the power of prayer. The person who had me really blocked in was inside the mosque. And a gentleman walked up to my car and he says, I'm sorry, lady, but you're going to have to sit here for a while because the person in that truck is in the Muslim mosque. As I sat there and I prayed and I said, I kept ringing the number thinking maybe he would come down before they really got started, but he didn't come down. So I had to sit there, and as I sat there, I took that time. I said, if they could pray in their mosque, I could pray sitting in this car. And so I sat there and I prayed. And I thank God for showing me that there were men from every walk of life coming from every direction. There were construction workers. There were vendors. There were storekeepers locking up the store, going to prayer. Prayer changes things. That is what I'm trying to say to you this morning. Prayer changes things. There is power in prayer. So here was Peter and John, practicing Jews, going to the temple for their 3 o'clock hour prayer. Many signs and wonders had already occurred among the apostles, but it is in these verses that you have heard in your reading that the writer Luke decides to share the details of one specific miracle. As Peter and John had no doubt in the past entered the temple at the gate called Beautiful. Just as they entered the gate called Beautiful, they saw this man who was crippled from birth sitting at the gate. They had seen him before, but up until this day, they had not been prompted by the Spirit of the living God to stop and acknowledge him. Perhaps they had done what others had done, that they had given him alms, money, as he asked them, because that was what he thought he truly needed. But what he really needed was the promise of God, a miracle, a new lease on life, an opportunity to be made whole, not just physically, but spiritually. God's timing is always perfect, whether we choose to believe it or not. Someone brought this man to that temple each and every day. And now here he was, over 40 years old. I know this is so, you can know it so, if you read Acts 4:22. For it says the man was over 40 years old. Here he was at the door of the temple, God's house, looking for a temporary fix that needed a life-changing miracle. Do we say that he was silly? Do we say that he was naive? Do we say that he was faithless because he didn't ask? Or should we say that he didn't ask because he didn't believe? There are so many people in the church, sitting at the door of the church, inside of the church, outside of the church, looking for what they can only find in the power of the living God. This man, like many, like us, are so often willing to be satisfied with just enough to get by, when God has promised us that he would provide all of our needs, that he is the God of abundance. He is the God of plenty. But we're willing to be satisfied with just enough. So often God's promises to us, we think they're material things. It seems like just enough to get by with nothing extra to share with anyone else. It's seeing God as being cheap, as being a miser. Someone who has so much but gives so little. We have not because we ask not. Ask and you shall receive. That's what the word says. Peter and John were full of the Spirit of the living God. They had become representatives of Christ. You see, a representator is given the authority to represent the one who sent them. You see, they have the authority to act on behalf of the sinner. They are given the power of attorney to seal the deal, whatever that deal may be. Here sat a man crippled from birth, never having any mobility, never having played with other children, never having hope of any kind of future other than to be a beggar. Here sat a man who no one ever said to him, "You have access to a miracle through God. You can be made whole." According to the Jewish law, this man was not allowed in the temple. He was considered cursed. He and his parents were thought to be sinners because he was crippled. That's why Jesus said, "I did not come to do away with the law, but to perfect the law." The bottom line is that this man thought he needed money, but what he really needed was a miracle. How many of you in here today need a miracle? You come in and out of this church each week looking, sitting, but not expecting a miracle. You got to expect God to do something great. You got to expect God to turn that situation around. You got to expect God to do what nobody else can do. All those times Peter and John saw them, all those years, thousands of people had just passed him by, every now and then dropping a coin in his cup. All those years, the people eased their consciousness with a few coins. But when the Spirit of God, when God the Holy Spirit came into the atmosphere, things changed. The presence of the Spirit of the living God was not in the physical temple, but it was in the human temple found called Peter and John. We are all physical temples of the Holy God. We are all endowed with the Spirit of the living God. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, the Holy Spirit came to live within you. He said, greater things you will do than I, but we don't stand on it. We don't believe it. I go into the hospital to pray for people. I don't go in there half-stepping, thinking that God might do it. Maybe he will do it. I go in there believing God will do what he said he will do. I don't know the plans that God has for each and every person, but I do know that I have the right, as he said I had the right, to go and ask him for it. And if he says I got another plan, then he got another plan. But it won't be because I did not ask. God knows all things. He knew this man needed a healing. And the people needed to know that healing was possible. The people needed to know that change had come into their atmosphere. You see, God chose a man who no one could deny that he was in fact crippled from birth. God chose a man who knew that he needed a complete healing. God chose a man who thought that all life held for him was the same thing day in and day out. Sitting at the door of the church begging for money, not ever coming into the house of God. We got to get over this thing of thinking that we can just walk in here and this is just any old place. We got to understand that this is the house of God. This is where change takes place. This is where God blesses us. This is where God turns situations around. This is where God makes the impossible possible. Standing on the promises of God. How many of you are standing on those promises this morning? How many are just going through routine? How many of you been doing this all your life so you just don't know anything else to do? You're just sitting at the gate called Beautiful. You're not expecting God to change anything. You're not expecting God to open up any doors. You're not expecting God to heal your body. But I come to tell you today, you better start expecting something from God. Some of us don't know to believe. And that's where we come in at. Some of us don't know that change is possible. That's where the word comes in. Some of us don't believe God will change our crippling situations for us. But the blessings of God are not complicated. The blessings of God requires faith. The blessings of God are freely given to those who seek it from God. We will never know if God has a miracle for us unless we ask. So today I ask you to ponder the question, what do you need God to do for you today? And with your honest answer to yourself, I leave you with a few precepts this text shares with us that will help us to be able to understand what God desires to give us. First, the power of God shows up where God is. You see, God is where he would be with his people. When we seek God, we will find him. God is where we are when we pray. God is where we are when we meditate. God is where we are when we worship him. And God responds to our faith in him. We may not have crippled legs, but we have some crippling situations. This man outside of the temple for 40 years. But it wasn't until two believers in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, going to the temple to pray, stopped and paid some attention. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you. The second thing that we have is the power of God shows up where it's expected. You see, God wants us to expect him to come and see about us. God wants us to expect him to work out our situations. He wants us to expect that an all-powerful God can change any situation and any circumstance. You see, once Peter had the crippled man's attention, and the man expected something. It may have just been a few coins that he was expecting, but he received what he wasn't expecting. You see, God wants us to believe in the expected and the unexpected. Every now and then, God will allow an unexpected miracle to happen to us. Somebody today needs a miracle, but they're not expecting that miracle. But if you don't believe God for the miracle, there will be no miracle. But I say to you today, I dare you to open up your heart and your mind and your spirit and say, God, I need a miracle today. I need you to step in, God, to my situation. I can't do it without you, God. I've been trying, I've been doing, but God, now I need the Holy Spirit. Step in, God, and change my situation. I don't know if it's a health situation. I don't know if it's a financial situation. I don't know if somebody is lonely and depressed and needs somebody to step in to their life. Whatever it is, God, I know that you're able to do it. God, I know you can do anything but fail. You got a cattle on 1,000 hills, God. I know you can provide. God, you heal the sick, oh God. Lord, you mend the crippled legs, oh God. Lord, you gave sight to the blind, oh God. Lord, you call them back from death, oh God. I know you can do it, God. I'm believing you for it. I trust you, God. There's nobody like you, God. My mama is gone. My daddy is gone. But God, you're still here. Entering his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Come thanking God in the spirit of expectancy. Come believing that God is able. Bill Hybel, a present day teacher and preacher of the gospel, says it something like this. When it's not his will, God says no. When it's not his time, God says slow. But when it's his will and when it's his time, God says go. You'll get that when you get home. The third thing, God says, the power of God shows up right where authority is recognized. When the man was healed, Peter and John didn't say, our power has come. When the man received his healing, Peter and John didn't say a long prayer. When the man received his healing, Peter and John simply said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, arise and walk. By no other name or power can we be saved except by the name of Jesus. By no other name can we have eternal life except we believe and receive the gift that Jesus has given unto us. It is the power and the authority of Jesus Christ that makes the difference in our lives. Lastly, as I prepare to take my seat, the power of God goes where God's glory is received. You see, God has glory. His glory can fill this temple. It says to us in Isaiah, his glory filled the temple. His glory can fill your temple, your living temple. The glory of God can fill it. His power represents his gift to humanity. And God doesn't show up where everyone else is receiving his glory. You can't take what God has done and make it your own. You're standing in the power of the living God. You don't have power to heal anybody. But through you, God can use you to pray for somebody. God can use you to encourage somebody. God can cause you to lift up, bow down heads. If we had power, we would be selling it to the highest bidder. Man wouldn't care who really needed it, the blessing, just what they could get out of it. All the superheroes, Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, and Iron Man, storyline is all the same. Keeping the power out of the wrong hands of destruction. You see, give God the glory
and watch and see if his power will not show up. Not man, God. Give God the glory, and he'll show up and show out on your behalf. My parting story for you today is Thomas Aquinas, one of the early church theologians, visit Pope Innocent II and found him counting large sums of money. "Ah, Thomas," said the Pope, "the church can no longer say, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" "That is true, your holiness," said Aquinas. "But then neither can the church say, 'Arise and walk.'" You see, it's not about money. It's about the power of the living God. It's about our faith and our trust in God. The apostles didn't have silver and gold, but they had the power of the living God. What we need are not possessions, but power. Power to touch people lies with the presence of the living God. Power to reach out to people and lift them up out of their tragic circumstances. Power to give them hope. Power to help them to believe that God will heal them. Power for friendship and fellowship. We are the church of Jesus Christ, and he has given us power to change lives. He's given us power to impact the world with his love, with his words, with his gift of salvation and eternal life. Where is your power today? I say to you today, God has given us all power. He promised us on Pentecost, just as he did for his disciples, that if we would tarry just for a little while, that the Holy Spirit would overtake you, that there would be furious winds and tongues of fire. And when God fill you, you can't sit down on that power. Everywhere you go, you're going to have to tell somebody about the living God. Everywhere step you make, you step within with Christ in you. And when you think about what you're doing, every now and then we all step to the side. But then the Spirit of the living God say, "You know that isn't right." The power of the living God will walk with you. It will talk with you. It will tell you, "There's all things I can do for you." So I say to you today, claim the power. It's yours. Maybe we don't want to claim it because we don't want to step out. Ask yourself the real question. Get real with yourself today. If I had power, would I use it for God? If I had power, would I do things to help make somebody else's life better? If I had power, would I believe God for the best? Where is your power today? God promised it to us. He is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should confess. If he said it, he shall bring it to pass. Do you want power today? I ask you to stand to your feet. Do you want power?